This is Midday on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart. How can the gender imbalance in Hollywood be addressed? Well, in 1985, cartoonist Alison Bechdel created what became known as the Bechdel-Wallace test. A movie passes the test if it has at least two women in it, those women talk to each other, and they talk about something other than a man. Given that a third of the top 50 movies of 2016 failed the Bechdel test, the staff at 538 decided to find a new way to measure, or new ways to measure, the influence of women in Hollywood. Walt Hickey, 538's chief culture writer, along with Ella Cousy and Rachel Dottel, visual journalists for 538, join us now to talk about their project that appears on 538.com called The Next Bechdel Test. Walt, Ella, Rachel, welcome to Midday.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, great to be here.
So what makes the Bechdel test a good measure for gender inequality in film, and why has it been used for so long?
It's punchy. It's really easy to kind of use, even if you're not like a, if you're just a casual viewer, you can really notice when two women speak to each other about something other than a man, because sometimes it's really infrequent.
Yeah, you can walk out of a cinema knowing whether or not a film passed it, which on so many other benchmarks when it comes to gender equality in the film industry, it's much harder to do that.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, do you think the Bechdel test oversimplifies gender equality in Hollywood? Is it too easy?
I think that it serves a very particular purpose, a useful one, yeah. As Rachel and Walt described, that it's simple and kind of a quick benchmark. I don't think that it's the be-all and end-all. I mean, we didn't think that, and that's why we wanted to not replace it necessarily, but add to it or get more nuance at this question.
So you found that a third of the top 50 movies of 2016 failed the Bechdel test. Some of the fails include Sully and Star Trek Beyond, mm-hmm. but some of the passes include Sausage Party and Zootopia. Why does Sully fail while a film like Sausage Party passes?
This really gets, I think, to why the Bechdel test is a very useful indicator for alerting people that there's a problem, but is less good at identifying where and how to address that. One reason that we tackled this story was 538 is a data-based oriented numbers website. The idea is that we try to find different ways to talk about the data underlying the news that you read. And for the past couple of years, we've been trying to cover the inclusion issue, and the Bechdel test always came up. So we kind of wanted to figure out, well, where does that go next? This has existed for 35 years. We don't have the gender equity that we want. What does the next carrot and stick look like that we want to say this is the test that you want to start passing?
So then how did you find out? How did you go about discovering what the new carrot and stick test would be?
Well, Walt journeyed to Hollywood.
You poor thing. Walt had to go all the way to Hollywood.
Yes, the pictures industry was kind of... it was great. We reached out to just a whole bunch of folks in different parts of the industry. We talked to people who work behind the camera, in front of the camera, writers, directors, actresses, all folks who are familiar with this test, are fond of it, but realize that it's 2018. We got to move forward on this. And all of them had their idea for here's what the next test should look like. I think that it should focus on how women are portrayed. I think it should look at the supporting characters, not the primary characters. I think it should look at the race of the characters or the behavior of the characters or different things about it that don't get addressed in the notoriously simple Bechdel test.
And then after Walt went and talked to all these women and we collected all of these tests, we didn't want to leave it there. We wanted to implement them and to learn what would be a good test. How is this effective? What's not effective? What's useful? So we watched 50 movies, two times a movie.
Is that the 50 top grossing films of 2016?
Yep. Exactly. Okay. And it wasn't just the three of us. We had quite a...
How many people?
Was it nine?
Yeah, we had nine people do it.
And it still was, still felt like not enough.
An eternity.
Yeah, exactly.
So you watched all 50 films.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So... I was going to ask, how did Hollywood do? But how many new tests or additional tests did you come up with?
There are 12 tests that we implemented in the project, one of which was added by me and Ella. But the other 11 come from people that Walt interviewed. So we implemented those 12 tests. Walt put them all into one kind of sheet that everyone could use as they watch the movies to check things off, and then we kind of disaggregated all of that so that we could see how the tests how the movies did, but also how the tests did, and how whether or not, because it was kind of evaluating both, are these tests easy to do, can we use them, and how did these movies do on them.
Okay, so you already know the one movie that was shocking to me that only passed one test. But before we get to the ones that failed miserably, were there any films that passed all 12 or a majority of 12? Did most of them fail?
No film passed all 12.
Yeah.
The film that did the best, and I would have to go and look actually at
bad
how
moms.
Many they passed.
It was the Bad Moms.
Bad Moms.
The Bad Moms, yeah.
The Bad Moms were pretty good in some respects.
Yeah. Okay, so what made Bad Moms good?
I think it was a female, it was not only female dominated, but it was a female ensemble movie, so that helps a lot.
Female driven as well.
Female driven, all of the, not just the protagonists, but the antagonists were women. And as we've talked about amongst our staff and in some of the writing we've done around this, it's not a hero woman breaks down barriers story. It's like these women are being kind of crass. These women are being, you know, both like sweet but also gross. And so you get at a lot of sort of the character development tests that we had from different women.
You know, actually, would Bridesmaids? How do you think Bridesmaids
would
be?
Bridesmaids would be a slam dunk.
Probably.
But here's the issue. Like, we look at, again, a film like Bad Moms, and Hidden Figures did really terrific as well, but they only passed 6 out of the 12 tests. Mm-hmm. Where these films really start breaking apart is when you look behind the camera.
Yeah,
and that is where so many of these issues originate.
Mm-hmm.
These are, like, if you see gratuitous sexualizing shots in film, a guy decided to shoot it that way. Because typically, these departments, the cinematography departments, they're overwhelmingly male. If you look at department by department, you really fail to see female representation, which in so many ways fuels a lot of the issues that we see on screen.
You know, we talked Bad Moms. I brought up Bridesmaids. Did Girls Trip make it into the top 50?
Girls Trip was 2017.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had the box office numbers hadn't closed, so
okay.
We were a year behind.
Have you seen Girls Trip?
It's terrific.
Oh my god. crying. It's so funny. Okay, here's the movie that shocked me because it passed only one of the new tests, Rogue One.
So disappointing. I love that movie, Rachel? So much. I've seen it 6 times.
Yeah, I've got it on my iPad.
Yeah. And what you see in that movie is a really strong female character.
Yeah.
One really strong female character. And then everybody who surrounds her is a man. I mean, there's one other woman in the entire movie.
Rachel, would you say that it was so disappointing that it prompted you to do something about it?
It was indeed.
Oh, so this is it. So this is why you're like, I want to be a part of this test.
Ella and I talked about this afterward. We kind of noticed in Rogue One that while there is this female strong lead, and a lot of the movies in 2016 had strong female leads, a lot of them, not only like the extras, which is part of one of the tests, I think it's the Hagen test, mm-hmm. where there are extras or, you know, crowd scenes don't have gender parity, but also the supporting characters who do have kind of minor roles or even major roles, they're all men surrounding Jyn Erso in Rogue One. And so we kind of were like, well, we don't have a test right now that's looking at the supporting characters, so let's add one. We're watching all these movies. And we found that a lot of movies fail in having, yes, they have a strong lead, but they don't have, you know, anyone around her supporting her.
Only 17 out of the 50 movies that we watched passed your test, which was, is the supporting cast, is that half female?
And I think it was, for us, a really good response, our response to the Bechdel test, because you can get your movie if, like, you're aware of the Bechdel test, and you don't want your movie to be slandered in that way, you know, have that stain on it. You just, all you need are 2 women.
talking about anything,
right,
just not a guy.
Exactly. And so we wanted to focus on that specifically.
So of the people in Hollywood you talked to, Walt, it wasn't just gender diversity, but there was also racial diversity. You have Lena Waithe's test.
Yeah.
And her test is, there's a black woman in the film who's in a position of power and she's in a healthy relationship.
Yes.
What movie passed that test?
Well, to give you a really good example of a movie that passes that, Independence Day Resurgence, again, has a very good, strong, diverse cast. Again, several strong black women in it who are in positions of power. I believe that she's a doctor in that film, and then she's in a healthy relationship. And so The thing that I love about the Waithe test is that it's a thing that if you asked out of any other race or any other gender, of course, there's going to be a white guy in a movie that has a good relationship and a great job. But it's so rare. And the fact that I believe there were, what was it? It was only five?
Five
out of 50 films had one character who was a woman of color, a black woman who had a good relationship and a good job.
Ligia Villalobos has a test, and her test is the movie passes if the film has a Latina lead and the lead or another Latina character is shown as professional or college educated, speaks in unaccented English, and is not sexualized.
Yeah, essentially just a baseline test for is there decent Latina representation in the films? And
no, there's not.
There's not.
0 out of 50, which is just appalling. I mean, I know that that's a test that hits a lot of specific points, but really what it's asking for is there a good, well-rounded Latina character? And I think what we're increasingly seeing is that Latina representation is just terrible in Hollywood.
And what we found when we were implementing these tests, so what we did is every movie was watched by two different people so that if there were judgment calls to be made, we could sort of reconcile them. And so we'd go through the list and talk through every test. And that test has several parts to it. And we never got past the first part of that test. You know, it's not like, oh, this movie would have made it if only she didn't have an accent. It's no, there were just no Latina characters.
There's just no characters,
period. Right, yeah, exactly.
It's awful. Yeah.
So, Rachel and Ella, excuse me, your test looked at the role of women in the supporting cast.
Yep.
So then what are your three or four things, a la the Waithe test and the Villalobos test, or four things that you're looking at the supporting cast?
Really, we were just looking for presence.
Yeah.
We kept it as simple as possible. I think that the thing that we were reacting to, as Rachel described, are these movies that make up for lack of representation by having like a really heroic woman.
Yeah. I'm also thinking of Alice Through the Looking Glass was another one where you have Alice and then all of those characters around her, the Mad Hatter, the various animals, creatures, I don't know. All of them are male. And I just wonder like, why?
Lewis Carroll having problems with women?
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Through the Looking Glass.
So
it could be anything.
We basically looked at those supporting characters, larger than just the minor roles, but who are in the supporting cast and whether or not, you know, there's a 50-50 women, men, mm-hmm. male. Yeah.
Can we come back to Sausage Party?
Certainly.
Why?
Of course.
What's up with that film? Why did that pass? That was one that passed the Bechdel test.
One of our colleagues who watched it.
And it's a cartoon. It's animated.
Yeah. We have a colleague of ours, Julia Wolf. She's a visual journalist at 538. And she signed up to do a whole bunch of animated movies. She just wanted to just hit all of it. And she signed up for this terrific movie about talking food. It looked like a great time. She did not know that Sausage Party was an R-rated picture. She did not know that it was one of the most vile Lord films. Like, it is great.
She has a lot of opinions about it.
The Slack message alone was terrific. But yeah, so...
I think I remember one thing that she kept pointing out was the sexualized taco character.
See, what you've done now is I'm going on the train ride back to Washington tonight. I'm going to download Sausage Party and watch this to see, because it sounds like it's like Ted, but for food.
Yeah,
pretty much. But there are female characters. They do speak to each other. I think they speak about something other than male taco. I don't know. I didn't have to watch Sausage Party.
I've seen the film. It's not a great conversation. But yeah, I mean, it checks that box.
Okay, let's talk about films before we have to go, because I'm looking at the clock and now we're way over. But this is really fun. So films from, how would films like Wonder Woman or The Last Jedi do?
Given
all the various tests.
Hard to know because I think one of the things, and I don't know about those films specifically, but one of the things this whole process taught me is that there's a difference between the feeling you get when you walk out of a theater, like, oh, I loved Wonder Woman and I felt so great afterwards and I was like, yes, this movie is excellent and it's great for women. But there's a difference between that feeling and what actually goes into making a movie and what actually is represented on screen. You know, some of the revealing ones, as Walt talked about, are what's behind the camera, which of course Patty Jenkins is an amazing female director, so you at least get that for Wonder Woman. And then another really revealing set of tests were the Hagen tests, where it looked at characters who only had one line, and it looked at characters in crowd scenes. And what you found is if there's a random taxi driver or a random doctor, it's
or
usually
Amazonian.
A man, you know?
Oh.
And so it's kind of like the scene, the setting dressing, even if you think that a movie is great in all these ways for women, the way that it interacts in the industry can still be very male-dominated.
Yeah. The stat line from the Annenberg Inclusion Institute is that 35% of roles on screen go to women, any speaking part. And so that's the universe that they're dealing with. It's 65% male world. Looking behind the camera, like, hey, Wonder Woman, again, terrific director, Patty Jenkins, but cinematographer was male. Like the people who made the movie were, if you go through the cast, you're going to be hard-pressed to find departments that are 50% women, and even harder-pressed to find crews that are 50% women, and even harder-pressed to find on-set crews that are 50% women.
So to end the segment, I have to ask this. I mean, these tests are great, and they cast they put a spotlight on disparities in the industry, but how do you get the men in the corner office atop these major studios to actually take the tests seriously and actually implement the kinds of changes you want these tests to what's the word I'm looking for?
You want
make
to
this change happen.
Right. I think that, I don't know the answer, but I do think that it ultimately what it comes down to is money. And we looked at the top grossing movies. You know, there are probably tons of great movies that address these in different ways that are not making the big bucks. And the incentive, I think, has to come from the audience and from the viewers and what they're, you know, being aware of these kinds of things and what they're willing to pay for.
Yeah, I think
which is ultimately kind of unfortunate that there's not a power that be that can, you know,
but I
come
feel
from
like
the top.
Giving visibility and promoting the voices of people like the people that Walt interviewed is certainly a step forward. I mean, doing all these tests to be able to kind of voice some of the opinions that they have about the industry that they work in, you know. So
give my sources jobs.
Right. And we should note that Rachel Morrison just became the first female cinematographer nominated for an Oscar.
But
ever.
It took 90 years. It took 90 it's years to insane. Get that, and that's what's so traumatizing about this experience. Like, it's just, how do you recover from that? And I think the answer is you gotta hire more women when it comes to making these movies.
And to your point, women account for just 4% of all cinematographers working on the top 250 films of 2017.
But a majority of moviegoers, and that's the sickening part.
Vote with your pocketbook is what you're basically what you're saying to the audience. I've been speaking with Walt Hickey, Rachel Doddle. I told you, Rachel. And Ella Kuzi about their recent piece for 538, The Next Bechdel Test. Thank you all very much for
being
here.
Thank you so
here.
Much
Thank
for having
you.
Us.
We had a great time.
Coming up, Alex Hutchinson discusses the limits of human endurance for our latest Please Explain. This is Midday on WNYC. We'll be right back after a break.